My brother, Harvey, owns that pond. He had that pond built through the Conservation Service from Door County. And the pond consists of about a good third acre. It's built like a bulb, quite a bit bigger on one end, and then it narrows just like a bulb to the other end. Mm-hmm. After it was built for a few years, it started leaking. Mm. And the water would seep through to his field right close by. So then he got the county to come in with their big equipment, their bulldozer, and they've hauled some clay and relined the south side of the pond, where it was the widest and where there was the most water in. And at the same time, they ducted about a couple feet deeper, right in the stones. This was in that flat stone that's in the bottom. They just worked that out. After that, after it was worked up, and before he got the water to come back in, he made two places in there with stones, so that when he'd put fish in, the fish could go and circle in the water there. He'd add large stones, and he'd pile those stones, and he'd leave a crack between the stones, and he made them go up like a mound in the middle. It's below the water level. You can't see it just by looking at it, but there's two of them in there. Then in spring, he generally goes to a place where they sell those fingerlings, but generally he buys fish that is about 3 to 4 inches long. And to get those fish, he's got to have a water tank and a little compressor that'll compress air in there, because it's quite a trip for him to go and get those. I've seen the place where he went, but I don't remember the place where he gets those fish. They're trouts, and he brings them in. And it's fun in summer when he has a few bass in there, in the pond. And those bass will just lay their eggs right on the edge of the water. And after the eggs are laid there, you can only see a little brown, darkish spot, maybe the size of a golf ball. And that's all you can see there. But in a few weeks' time, they start hatching. And they're all little bit of a fish, just tiny, tiny things. And those bass, they just travel about 15 or 20 feet one way past their nest and 15 feet on the other way. And if there's one of the trout that come close to that nest, that bass just darts a quick dart at them, and away they move. It's fun to just see them when they're acting like that, and when you can just watch that bass traveling back and forth to protect her little ones and to protect her nest eggs that was there where the spawn was, or just protect there, and she just goes back and forth. He feeds them, those fish then. He gets a certain fish feed from the local dealer and feeds them. When there's a lot of flies or those, what they call those green bay flies that fly around on top. In the evening, it's fun to see them. They'll jump about a foot and a half or 2 feet, clear out the water to catch one of those flies that are flying up off the water. And if they just fly real close to the water, you just see them come and nip, and all you see is a big splash of water then.
I wanted to ask you, though, about your involvement with SCS. You mentioned that that's how your brother...
Yes, I was involved in it for about 16 years when I was a committee man for the town of Union. And at that time, well, we'd have to go from farm to farm, and it, according to the program, what they had, well, we'd tell the farmers what was on the program, how much new land they could probably make and get paid for, or if they cultivated their land to keep the land clean, it was so many acres, they'd get paid for so much an acre for cultivating the land or plowing it a second time in the fall to keep the weeds and the crop in a good, and the land in a good growing condition. So that was about one of the principal things that they had at the time. Of course, then they went from ditching and waterways and rotating crops and strip cropping. Now there's only a few farmers that can join in on account of that. Mostly in my case, why I don't favor working with the program anymore is because they pay for a certain amount of the grass seed that we put in, but then they want us to keep it in grass or timothy, in grass or pasture for a number of years, which would be probably about 4 or 5 years that we'd have to leave it. But that's too long a time to leave it in 2A. By leaving it in that long a time, weeds, and especially quack, by 5 years' time, you'd probably have only quack in that, in the field. And that was too hard to get rid of. So that's why I don't like to keep it. The oftener that you can plow your sod over or hay fields over and renew them, you'll have a much better crop. Of course, now, with the fertilizer that they apply to, it's a big difference. And with the price of seed, the way it is now, well then, they're to an advantage just to apply a little fertilizer and leave it in hay for a number of years. It would be a bigger advantage because the alfalfa and the hay price of seed is too high to change every few years.
How did the farmers like the SCS when you first worked with it?
Well, most of the farmers were for it. There was very few that wouldn't want to sign up with them. They were practically everyone was signed up with the at that time.
And where and how would you hold your meetings?
Well, the committee man would have to go from one farm to another to fill up those blanks. But then we'd have a meeting in Sturgeon Bay where all the committee men from each township would assemble, and we had a field man come from Madison to explain the way we had to do it and how those programs were supposed to be done and how it was supposed to be filled up. The blanks were supposed to be filled up. That was They still have a kind of a program like that today, but they've only got two or three in each township, the same as before. But most of the work that the farmers should do in ditching or strip cropping or anything like that that they'd want done through the SCS, well, then it's generally reported direct to Sturgeon Bay. The committee men, they generally go to a meeting once a year, and that's just about all they do now.
But you used to have meetings more
But
often.
We used to have meetings about three or four times a year, and then we had to go from farm to farm. Now, all of that is cut out. That's saving a lot of labor, and I suppose a lot of expenses. Of course, we weren't paid very much at the time. I know one year we've done all the work for nothing. There was no more money in the county. All the money had been spent, and we didn't get nothing for our years, for our services that year.
What year was that?
I couldn't remember exactly the year. Then the following year, there was more money. More money had been allotted to the county, so then we got paid a little more so that we'd catch up from the year before.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to be a committee man?
We were elected through each township. The county would send in a blank, and the farmers would write the name of three or six committeemen, and then they'd vote on them, and whoever got the most votes was the one that was picked.
Did you talk to your neighbors about wanting to be on a committee, or did they just pick
they
you?
They just picked me at random at the time.
I don't think it wasn't and random, was it?
Well, they just asked if you get the job, would you do it? Well, I'll try to. And that was all there was to it.
And you also were in some other organizations, weren't you?
Well, I was in the Holstein Fashion Association. I was one of the directors in the Holstein Fashion Association for a number of years.
What were your duties there?
Just as a director. We'd just go to a meeting and we'd hold our meetings, and then if there was anything to be done, like at the fair, decide on what we should give the boy or the girl who had brought in the grand champion or whatever it was. Generally, we had an altar for them or something of the kind, and decide on what trophies were to be given to the person who had the best herd, the best cows on the program, or the best bull, whatever it was. And then we'd go to different meetings in different counties wherever they had their black and white shows. And whenever they had their twilight meeting, well, we'd go to those meetings from in different counties or different towns.
What's a twilight meeting?
A twilight meeting was just the report of our program, what we had been doing, and what we intended to do with the program. Try and get some people to join testing association. We'd have the county agent there to speak, and we'd have half a speaker from some, either from Madison or a distant farmer that had a real good herd, and he could tell us how he had started and how he had progressed with his hurt and such things as that when we had the twilight meeting. And then we'd have to vote for our new officers. Whenever there was new officers to be put in, we'd have to change officers. We'd have the meeting for... It was just a common annual meeting, we might call it, but we always held it in the evening. That's why they called it a twilight meeting, because it was held in the evening.
Did you have refreshments, too?
A what?
Did you have a lunch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Generally, like Lake to Lake would furnish some ice cream, and we'd furnish some buns or whatever they wanted to eat for a light meal, a light lunch. Mm-hmm. And for a while, they used to buy about a 60 or 80 pound pig, and they'd roast it. And then we'd cut it up and give them each a lunch with a piece of pork. I forgot.
Did you get much involved in national politics at all?
No. No, I never was in politics.
Or interested
in? The only thing that I'd done in politics was to attend the election meetings and be on the election board. That I was a number of times.
How are the Belgians usually about voting?
In voting?
Do they vote as a group?
Well, today it's like most places. They all got different ideas. Some will vote Democrat, some will vote Republican, and some might vote Socialist as far as I'm concerned. But mostly, they were mostly all Republicans. Till Roosevelt ran for office. When Roosevelt ran for the presidency, this township gave him a 100% vote.
Do you remember that time? Do you remember what people were talking about?
Sure.
What was it like?
Well, it was during the time when they were selling their eggs at 3 cents a dozen, and butter was real cheap, and the crops were very cheap. So, when according to what Roosevelt was saying, he was going to bring the country back on its feet, and then he was going to do a better job than what Hoover had been doing. Herbert Hoover was the president before him. So the people all thought, well, it's about time we get a change. So they all voted for Roosevelt.
Did you talk about the election, say, in the local taverns, or where we...
Sure. If we'd meet with a bunch of people in a tavern or any place, well... One guy would ask the other, who do you think we should vote for this year? Well, I'm going to vote for Roosevelt. And the other guy would say, well, maybe you'll do better, but maybe you won't either. And that's the way the discussion was going. And finally, when the election came, Roosevelt got 100% of the votes. But at that time, when they were voting, or we went to the election board, the way the election board was picked, they only needed, the town board would always be on the election board. Then they'd have to pick either one or two clerk of elections. Those were the people that had to write the names of each voter. As they walked out, they were checked and their names were written down. And then maybe two ballot clerks. Those were the clerks that put their initials on the ballots. When you go in to vote, before you vote, they give you the ballot, and they got their initials written on that ballot. And that's about the only people that they had that were picked. And at that time, how they were chosen was, if there was a number of them at the townhouse in the morning before the election started, well, the chairman of the election, the chairman that was there would say, well, now we're going to need two ballot clerks. Whoever wants to do the job, just raise your hand and we'll take your name down and put it in a hat, and we'll draw them out. The first two that come out the hat, the first two names that come out the hat, those will be the two that will be ballot clerk. Then they want a person who knew the people and that could write their names and spell their names as clerk of election. Well, at that time, I knew mostly everybody, and I could spell all the names that there was in the township. So I got that job a number of times as clerk of election. The clerk of election, when the election was over, they had to check the votes and keep tally with the two supervisors and the chairman. One guy would read the votes that were cast, and we'd keep tally then, at two. Two guys would keep tally, and one would read the votes. And when we were done counting votes, well, we had to get them ready, put them in a bag, seal it, and then the chairman or the clerk would deliver it back to Sturgeon Bay the next morning.
Sturgeon Bay?
Yeah. And after they had the telephone, well, they'd call in the results of the election from the town hall, see?
Did a lot of people show up for most of the local elections?
Well, this is a small township. And at present, I think the highest number of voters, well, now with the 18-year, the guys that are 18-year-old that can vote, I couldn't tell you exactly how many there are voters now. But it used to be around 370, 380 in that neighborhood before those 18-year-olds could come in.
Do you think it's changed a lot with the 18-year-old vote here?
I doubt it. As a rule, in a family where they're closely, it might be changed now because those 18 years old have been going to high school and all that. But years ago, when it was a family, they generally all vote the same way. Very seldom that one would vote different than the others. And a lot of people were unable to read the ballot and how to vote. And they generally pick one of the supervisors or the chairman to write their vote.
They got to choose themselves?
The person that was going to vote would call, Mr. Chairman, we'd like to have you come and vote for me. Or they'd call one of the supervisors, they'd do the same thing. Mr. Supervisor, number one, you come and write out my ticket. And so they'd go and write out their ticket. But I didn't think that was very, very right to do it that way. It's changed now. Because if you were to go in the and vote, and you to call like the chairman or one of the supervisors to write your vote out, if you couldn't read, you couldn't see who they were voting for anyway. They could vote for whoever they pleased, and you wouldn't know the difference. When there was only one overseer over the voter, that didn't pan out. But when the first time I went to the election, you could go and get your vote, your ballot, by those people, walk out with it, and go and write your ballot out behind the town hall or behind a large stump, whatever you wanted to pick, the place you wanted to pick, then bring your ballot back in the town hall and vote for it. You were still only checked once. You couldn't get away with voting twice because when you went through, the clerk of election was going to check you in anyway, so you could only vote once. But the people, the candidates that were there, you're a good friend of mine. You vote for me, huh? Yeah. Well, get your ballot and then I'll make it out for you. And those guys were outside back at the tunnel and they'd write those ballots for those guys that were going to vote for them. That's the way it was working in the first years, about the very first year that I went, but it changed right after that. The rulings changed right after that. And now they've changed a lot yet. From the last year or so, the election boards have got to be very, very careful.
Who's on the people on the election board now? Are they older people in the community or younger?
Younger. Mostly people who can read and write and that have a pretty fair education. And generally, as a rule now, they go to a meeting. The county clerk holds a meeting and they go and listen to the meeting the way for the rules of conducting that election. After they got that rules, well, then they know how to conduct their election. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting too old to go and listen to all that stuff and go. I like to go and vote, though. I still went and voted this year, although there was only for the school board and the judges. The judges to vote for. Well, I did go and vote this year yet, this spring. The primaries it was. And I hope to go in March, in April yet, when they got the general election.
Yeah. What do you think will happen here as far as that goes?
It's hard telling. Very hard telling. At present. I'm curious to listen to the TV tonight and see who Reagan and or Ford gets the votes they get in New Hampshire.
I'd like to change the subject and ask you about the tavern life that you talked about. You said each month one of the different taverns would have a dance.
Oh, well, that was in 1918, 1920, the different places where they had a dance hall. There was one in Niger, there was one in Roger, one in Lincoln, one in Brussels, one in Namur here. And they'd all have their chance of having one special dance in a year. But after that, mostly, like in Rubens' tavern, at Rubens Dance Hall, they had one every month. It never on a Sunday, always on a Monday that they had their tavern, that they had the dance. And that was about the only dances that the young people could go to. But they'd get there at 6:30 and they'd dance till the sun comes up.
What sort of dance?
And Jenny waltz and two steps and square dances. That was about the only dances at the time that were popular.
What happened during Prohibition?
During Prohibition was the same thing. The only thing they had to drink was near beer and pop. And whoever was making moonshine, the young guys would get about a pint or so from a person that they knew was making it and that they could obtain it, and they'd go with that to a bottle to the dance, in a bottle to the dance, and whenever they had danced a few dances, they'd be sneaked out and go and have a little drink to that bottle. The other guys would be watching them, and when they had taken the drink and they knew where that bottle was, they'd sneak the bottle away from them. And some of that stuff was pretty fair, but there was some of it that wasn't so very good either. Mm. There was some that was just as good as brandy or whiskey today. But some of it wasn't very good either.
Mm. I think we're just about out of tape, so thank you for doing this tape with us today.